How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
Most people don't know what the deeds of the body are. Before we get finished, you will understand what the scriptures refer to. I doubt that we'll get to the comprehensive list tonight from the scripture, but the scriptures give a comprehensive list of the deeds of the body. And what I want you to get, though, is I'd like you to memorize this scripture. I was driving down the road Monday. This scripture came to me, and it came as a rhema. It came with great import. I want you not to miss what it says. If you live after the flesh, you will die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Now, there are many different types of scripture in the scriptures. There's history, there's poetry, there's the books of wisdom, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Songs of Solomon. There are the books of prophecy. There are the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There are the 14 epistles. There's, of course, the New Testament, the book of Revelation. There's a lot of types of scripture. Each type of scripture speaks to us in a different, important way. They all speak in important ways, but they are different in important ways. I don't know of a text that comes to my mind right now as astoundingly important as this one is in this moment. If you live after the flesh, you will die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Now, I want to spend a few moments on this one scripture. We'll move on. We might use some more to support it. But I really want you to. Now, the notes you got tonight, don't worry. We're not going to try and get through all four pages tonight. It's probably going to take three Wednesdays. So make sure you bring these notes back, okay? But we're going to start tonight. First of all, I want you to understand this verse. When it says, ye shall die, this is the Greek word, and it actually literally and figuratively means to die off. I want you to notice the significance, because often when we say, ye shall die, we could say, well, I did something in the flesh and I didn't die, therefore the scripture is not true. What the scripture says is if you live after the flesh, you shall begin to die off, and ultimately, yes, you will die. But there is going to be a destructive force working in your life. There's destruction. So what I want you to catch tonight is a couple of things. Here is the essence of what this means. If ye live after the flesh, you shall die. Watch this now. If you follow the feelings of your flesh, you will damage yourself. And if you do it long enough, it will kill you. Following the feelings of the flesh. If you live after the dictates, the motivation that your flesh gives you, you will hurt yourself. Let me confess the application that the Lord brought this to me, in respect to me. When it comes to eating, I have this motive to eat what my body wants to eat. I want you to get this now. But in the same way that God never meant emotions to be a guidance system, feelings were never designed by God to be a guidance system. And neither are the dictates of your flesh. Neither is your body to be the guidance system. Instead, we're going to see that we have a very important guidance system. We're going to come to that in a moment. But if you live after the flesh, if you only eat what your body wants, you will destroy yourself. You will destroy your health. You probably will be obese. And destruction sets in that after years of living after the flesh, you will die earlier than you otherwise should have. Did you hear that? Let me apply it a different way. If you allow your body to dictate your sexual notions, you will destroy yourself. Scripture says every other sin is without the body. But not that one. And people think that there's no destruction in it. The scripture is plain. If you live after the flesh, you will die. If you drink what the flesh wants you to drink, you will damage yourself. I have to confess to you, it wasn't until the seminar last spring, whenever it was I went, I can't remember now, that I learned how damaging drinking soda is. Full of poison. It's polluted water. I don't know what your drinking habits are, but if you drink after the leadings of your flesh, you will damage yourself. This, of course, applies to alcohol. It applies to the taking of drugs. Deeds of the body. If they are allowed, if the flesh is allowed to dictate to us how we live, it will destroy us because it has no brains. It has no spiritual insight. Everybody follow that now? If you follow the feelings of the flesh, you'll damage yourself. In the same way, allowing the deeds of the body will also create damage. And we'll later show you the difference between the flesh and the deeds of the body. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So, here's the good news. This scripture has the answer. Are you ready? Here it is. Three parts to it. Number one, we need to terminate the rulership of our flesh. We need to terminate the rulership of our bodies. And that's in the scripture. If you live after the flesh, you will die. But if you But if you mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. We must not allow the feelings of our flesh, the deeds of the body, to dictate what we eat, how we behave socially, and you're going to see, when we get to the list, the Bible gives a list of 18 deeds of the flesh. 18 of them. And you're going to get those probably next Wednesday. But we need to terminate the rulership of that, because if we don't, write it down for sure, underline it, put it in capital letters, put an exclamation mark around it, maybe a circle around it. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify, that means, that this word mortify means to kill. Kill. Stop the deeds. What are the deeds of the flesh? Is the flesh trying to run your life? It's your body trying to guide you. It needs to be killed. Terminated. Look at here. Repeated in another scripture. Now we're in Colossians. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. This is talking about the members of your body, which are trying to get you to behave and to conduct yourself in a destructive pattern. Let's look at another verse. Look at this. This is verse 12. It's the one before the one we have up here. And here's what it says, dear brothers. We are debtors, but watch this now. We are debtors, but not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. There is nothing incumbent upon us to live that way. There is a solution for it. We're going to see it. But we need to terminate the rulership of our flesh in our decision-making, in our behaviors, in our eating habits, in our drinking patterns, in every aspect of life, in our social interaction. The flesh must not lead us. Now, when we get to the 18 deeds of the flesh, you will be shocked at what your flesh leads you to do. I'm going to leave that, though, until we get to the passage. The second thing, that in order to terminate the rulership of our body, it's something, now watch this, it's something we have to do. If you mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. But this is so important that your humanness and mine may prevent us having the ability to do that. How do you stop your body from ruling you? How do you stop the flesh from being so overpowering you can't help but give into it? And here is the wonderful news. We do it if ye, watch this now, look at this phrase, through the Spirit. Now, watch this now, because this is a capital S here, meaning that this refers to the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. If you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. So the good news is you don't have to kill the flesh by yourself. There's help. In fact, we know, listen, because we'll come to the scripture later, but listen to this. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and the two are at enemies one with the other. This is an either-or way of living. We either live after the flesh, the dictates of our body, the dictates of our flesh, or we live after the leadership of the Holy Spirit. It's that simple. So watch this now. The answer, the solution, I probably should have used instead of the word answer, the solution to living after the flesh is that we must terminate the deeds of the body, but we get help through the Holy Spirit. Now, I can't tell you how excited I am about telling you this truth. The Holy Spirit is your finest companion. The Holy Spirit is your daily provision by the Father and by the Son. Jesus said, now listen, departures are always sad, usually. I don't like departures. I have seen my wife get on an airplane and fly somewhere, and it's a sad departure. You go visit with relatives or friends, and you have to say goodbye. The departure is sad. When you come to church and you hang out after church, it's sad we have to leave one another because we got stuff to do. Departures are sad, but there is a departure in the Bible that is so necessary. Now watch this, because Jesus said to his disciples, I am going away. I'm going to leave you. In fact, you can turn to the scriptures and find where he left. And he rose up, he ascended. They were all standing around. He just took off. What a sad moment. The Savior is gone. And the angels had to appear because the audience was in such shock. And they said, ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up? Don't you know that this same Jesus is going to come again to give them hope? But Jesus prepared. Now watch this. It is wonderful that Jesus left the planet. Did you know that? It was a departure that was a good departure. It was sad for them to lose him, but this is what he said. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But the Father will send the Comforter in my name. And through him, I will be with you always. So the Holy Spirit is given to be the personal representative of Jesus in your life. And the Holy Spirit, who is a Comforter, he's not a condemner, he's a Comforter. He's positive, not negative. He doesn't come to destroy. He comes to build up. The Holy Spirit is given to you not only to comfort you, but to help you do what the scriptures tell you to do. So you're not alone. You're not powerless. With the Holy Spirit, you can do anything. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. Nothing shall be impossible to you because the Holy Spirit has been poured out upon us. Now watch this. When it comes to dealing with your flesh, the antidote, that is the opposite, the cure, the fix, is that we must be willing to mortify the deeds of our body and stop that going on, but it is the Spirit through whom we do it. In other words, if you say, I can't stop smoking, or I can't quit drinking, my flesh is running my life, I can't quit lusting, or I can't quit food. It's okay as long as you want to. Because if you want to, if you will do this, if you're willing, you, through the Spirit, can absolutely stop the desires of your flesh. Hallelujah. How many here can witness that that's happened in your life? Well, look at that. Isn't that good? Isn't that wonderful? So watch this now. So the answer is to terminate the rulership of your body, the deeds of the body, by mortifying them, termination, and to do so by the power of God's Spirit. And then thirdly, to from that moment of deliverance onward, to follow the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, in every aspect of your life. Isn't this strange? This is verse 13 up here, and this is verse 14 down here. So these are very connected. So watch this. If ye live after the flesh, you will die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, They are going to live out the total sonship of God. Wow. Following the Spirit. Now, the weakness that I have had in my life is to only follow the Spirit in things that I thought were important. Like, I want to know, what does he want you to learn every time you come here? I want to follow the Spirit in respect to that. Aren't you glad for that? I want to follow the Spirit in respect to how I treat my wife. Hello. I want to follow the Spirit in how I make decisions. But the fallacy that I have had, the weakness that I've had, is this part right here. This every aspect thing. I believe that the Holy Spirit is so available to every single one of us that there's no insignificant part of your life that he doesn't have leadership for. Now, this is not easy, but let me tell it to you. I have had moments of my own disobedience where I've been in a restaurant and the waitress comes and wants a drink order, and my flesh wants Coke. And I've never had the Holy Spirit say, go ahead. In fact, usually at the drink order time, I don't consult with him. I don't want to hear. My flesh is saying Coke. Now, if I'm sanctified that day, I will ask for Diet Coke. But that's my flesh. It's time to order off the menu. On what basis do you decide what to eat? My problem is that I didn't allow the Holy Spirit into this area of my life. I would eat what my flesh wants to eat. And you can see the results. The Spirit of God, when you walk down the street, will warn you about which direction to look and not look. Because he wants to kill where your flesh wants to look. Hello, you got this? The flesh, you can flip through the channels and you watch out, because the flesh will determine where you stop on the channels. The flesh will determine how you react to other people, because it's so stuffed with pride. It doesn't want to get left behind. You're going to see envy comes out of your flesh. Covetousness comes out of your flesh. Wait till we get to the list of the deeds of the body. You will be shocked. And here is the predicament today. The predicament is that we've got this notion that you get saved, say yes to the three verses of Scripture, I believe, and start hopefully in a fellowship group somewhere going down the track. And we don't get to this text early enough. If you live after the flesh, you will die. You will destroy. No, hold on. Now it's on the job. And a fellow employee says thus and so, or the boss says to do thus and so. If you don't watch out, your flesh will determine how you respond to your boss. And you're going to be in trouble. Now watch, because the next thing you do, you know that that would not be a smart response. So it's your real response, but you cover it up. But you know what the problem is? The flesh is still the force. The flesh will have you remember past offenses from other people so that your conduct towards them will be affected by what the flesh remembers. If ye live after the flesh, if you follow the feelings of your flesh, you will damage. You will cause dying off. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify, kill, get that decision-making force out of the way. Stop its insurgence. Stop its intrusion. Stop its domination. Your life will absolutely be opposite, because no longer will you be following this leadership, the impulses, the notions, the enthusiasm of the flesh. God does not want our bodies to rule us. He wants us to rule our bodies. He doesn't want the appetites to rule you. He wants you to rule your appetites. And this may seem like a difficult task, and it is, because most of us have spent decades caving into the flesh. So it seems difficult, and it is if you are alone. But if you, now watch this, through the Spirit do mortify, kill, slaughter, subdue flesh, you will live. And then, number three, we follow the Spirit in every aspect of life. From then on, this is not mystical. It may seem mystical to some. Let me tell you something, a few things about the Holy Spirit that I have learned. You don't have to invoke His participation. You don't have to stop and say, okay, God, send me the Spirit. He is with you. And in fact, if in fact you are a follower of the Lord, you'll find Him, if you'll listen, constantly speaking. Sometimes it's just something to encourage you, build you up, you'll use Scripture. But what I'm talking about tonight is the Holy Spirit giving direction. So you look at the French fries. And the Spirit will guide you. The drink order comes. I know this sounds radical. You might even say to me, Well, Pastor, what you're trying to tell us is that the Holy Spirit is a micromanager. Answer? Yes. Because little things can have long-range effects. How do I know? How can I sit here and tell you that God has a will for my eating habit, which I've ignored because of the flesh, my drinking habit because of the flesh? Answer. Are you ready for the scripture? Whatsoever you eat, whatsoever you drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So if your boss is ugly with you, either your flesh will react or the Spirit will lead you. Next Wednesday night, now I'm going to take you through a couple more verses here. But next Wednesday night, we're going to spend time on the magnificence of following the Spirit. Because you see, the Spirit and the flesh are contrary one to another. If a person, if you or myself, if you will mortify the deeds, if we will mortify the deeds of our body, we will, be ready, live. Do you know what verse 15 is? Oh, we got 14 up here. Says that we will have no fear, where we've been given the Spirit of adoption, whereby we call Abba Father, and we are not to return again to the spirit of fear. But I tell you that this, let me go to this screen for a moment. Ye shall live. I tell you this live opens up whole vistas of your life. It affects the whole spectrum of life. Nothing will be the same when the Spirit leads us. And that doesn't mean you don't ever do something of your own volition. But what it does mean is that when I decide to do something, I always give him the option to interrupt. He always has the option to change my course. So I don't live looking around and say, well, I haven't got the Spirit leading. I just do what I'm supposed to do. But as you live your life, the results of the Spirit-led life are diametrically, now watch this, and diabolically opposed to the results of living after the flesh. In the sense that living after the flesh is going to kill and damage and destroy, living after the Spirit will give life and adventure and hope and future. Let's look at a couple. Look at it. Now we go to Galatians. All the Bible, all the scriptures, all the books, this truth is spread throughout. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill those desires that come from the flesh. These are the two opposite to one another. Let's look at, let me look at the clock. Let's go to this verse, and we'll finish off this text. Walk in the Spirit. What does it mean? What's the difference between having the Spirit and walking in the Spirit? Walking in the Spirit simply means that as you walk, as you're in motion, as you're talking, doing, whatever, going, that you don't do it without the Holy Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Because if you do that, you will never go back to this flesh thing. Now watch this. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. Notice the capital S is on here. This is referring to the Spirit of God. And not only does the flesh lust against the Spirit, but the Spirit is against the flesh. Now watch this. And these are contrary the one to the other. They are opposites. So that you cannot do the things that your flesh would want you to do. Because you've got this new power. You've got this new music that you live your life to. Now watch this. And if you be led of the Spirit, what you eat, what you drink, what you put on, how you treat the boss, how you treat your spouse, how you treat your children, how you treat your parents, if you be led by the Spirit, now watch this, you are not under the law. Now let me tell you what law that is. In the Bible, it's referred to in several different occasions, one place as the law of sin and death. What it is you, if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law that makes you do what the flesh tells you to do. Now watch this. If we are led by the flesh, there's a law that kicks in. And you end up with a compulsion, with a driving motivation, because a law is in effect. Because if you have decided at the root level to follow and give in to your flesh, then the law kicks in and says you will have to fulfill what the flesh does. It's a law. If you follow the flesh, the law says you will fulfill. It's like gravity. Throw something up, it's going to come down. If you follow the flesh, you're going to do the dictates of the flesh. It's a law. But if you are led by the Spirit, you will no longer be under that law. Hallelujah. I say to you, beloved, tonight, that what we want to do as a very primary decision point, flashpoint, if we are not, then to begin following the Spirit in every aspect of our life. If you talk to somebody with your flesh, you will say something different to them if you were talking by the Spirit. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its desire. That is what we must make sure of. Kill the one, follow the other. Because if you will, have life. If you live after the flesh, destruction. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh, then the next verse, as many as are led by the Spirit, I tell you, the flesh gets out of the picture and your life is now permeated with the Holy Spirit. You don't have to have a 20-minute prayer meeting before you act. This Holy Spirit is so close, so real, and so instantaneous. The Holy Spirit is not only instantaneous, he is contemporary. He is contemporaneous. He's with you second by second by second. And if we are listening to him, committed to follow him, he can close this and then open it up. And what comes out is what's right instead of what's wrong. What comes out will give life instead of what's coming out bringing death. What comes out will edify those who hear you instead of hurting them and damaging them. The difference at the root level is a commitment to cooperate with the Holy Spirit to destroy feelings of the flesh as the dominant director of our life and to yield to this wonderful Holy Spirit whose power is all you need. And you know what? He's not stingy with his power. My efficiency is only deficiency until I have his sufficiency. Jesus says, my grace is sufficient. The grace of Jesus, the grace of God gives each of you the Holy Spirit. Personally, you don't have to go somewhere to get him. Lay on your pillow tonight. There. When there's a season for rejoicing, he's there. If there's a season when it looks like tragedy, oh, he's there. But he is there in the incidentals of life, as well as what we think is the big stuff. Biggest need is the crucifixion, the mortification of the flesh, so that we can follow the leading of the Spirit. This is the reason why church has a different organizational structure than every other organization in the world. Because the leaders are not the leaders. The leaders are the servants. Him that is greatest among you shall be the servant of all. Because who's the leader? Jesus. He's your, you, there's nobody between you and God. No minister, no pastor. We're down here serving you. For the head of every man is Christ. I say, dearly beloved, let us learn to follow him. How often in a given day he'll just nudge you. Go a different direction than you otherwise would. It will affect your safety. It will affect your relationships. It will affect your mental health. It will give you power over the things that once destroyed you. Because we just follow the Spirit. Not part-time. Full-time. Not just in some areas. But in all areas.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.